Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we have lifted up unto you all of the cares of our hearts, of our lives, of our world, knowing that you are our only hope, that your coming is our great salvation. And we look to you now, Lord, you who have told us that though heaven and earth will pass away, your word will never pass away. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak that word to our hearts this morning. I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that it would be your spirit that speaks through my lips this morning, that you would hide me behind your word, and that you would minister to us each in the way that we need, because you know us, you love us, and it's your desire to do work in each one of us this morning. So we yield ourselves to you, O Lord. Let this moment be one where our ears and our hearts are attentive and submitting to you and all that you want to speak to us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you, just as a first word, for allowing me to experiment with the Great Litany. It's long been a liturgy that I've loved and has meant a lot to me personally, but we haven't done in church here. It's one of the ancient liturgies of the Anglican world. Thomas Cranmer himself wrote it, 1544-ish. And it's a wonderful part of our tradition. So I thank you for engaging it with me this morning. I want to start just with a question. Do you know what time it is? Before you look at a clock, we're asking a deeper question this morning. Do you know what time it is? Now, not knowing what time it is can cause major problems, right? If you go to an appointment and you realize you have the wrong time of day or the wrong day itself, you're going to have a bad time. Or I've been watching a lot of great football, both college and pro, in the last several days. You think about those moments where it's the last 2 minutes, the season is on the line, and when you see a guy just putting in the same effort he was putting in the first quarter, not knowing what time it is, not straining with everything that they have to win the game. Not knowing what time it is going to cause you some problems. But more than just the numbers on a clock or engaging in a game, the Bible asks us and expects us to know what time it is spiritually, what time it is in our world, in our age. And our lessons today frame this by saying, Jesus is coming back soon. That's what time it is. This fact frames everything that we do. It shapes every question that we ask, and it gives an urgency to the calling that we have received. To know what time it is, to know that Jesus is coming again soon. Advent is our preparation for the once and future coming of Jesus Christ. We remember and we celebrate the incarnation at Christmas, the first advent of our Lord. His coming to earth for us and for our salvation. And we are looking ahead to his second advent, his coming again in power and great glory to judge the living and the dead, to make all things new. He's coming again to finish what he started. And this is our great hope, both the first and the second comings of Christ. They are like two anchors upon which we hang all the hopes of the world, all the hopes of our lives. So Advent is a time for us to focus our hope. To focus our hope and then to let that future hope shape our present living. That's our goal. To let future hope shape our present living. So I want to study this morning through Romans chapter 13. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to that passage. Romans chapter 14, our lesson starts in verse 8. We're going to be focusing primarily on verses 11 and following. Because where the Lord says through the Apostle Paul, he says, you know the time. In verse 11, you know what time it is, that the hour has come to wake up from your sleep. Why? Because our salvation is nearer to us now than it was when we first believed. When Paul says our salvation is nearer, what he's saying is that Jesus is coming back. That's the salvation we are looking ahead to. We don't know exactly when. Jesus himself says we cannot know. It's foolish for us to try to predict. But we do know that his coming again is nearer now than it was yesterday. It's nearer now than it was when we first believed. So be ready, the message is. Be ready and wake up from your sleep because salvation is coming. Now, many of us probably know, just a refresher, the Bible talks to us about our salvation in three tenses, past, present, and future. The word says that we have been saved, that we are being saved, and that we will be saved. We were saved when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago and was raised for our justification. Our belief in him lets us take hold of that salvation by grace through faith. We have been saved. We are being saved here in the present by cooperating with the Holy Spirit who's sanctifying us, bringing us closer to Jesus, making our lives more in alignment with his will and his life. And future, we will be saved when Christ comes again to consummate his salvation, to perfect it, and to make all things new, finishing what he started. So we are looking to Christ coming again for our salvation, knowing that we have already been saved and that we are looking for salvation's perfection. That is our great hope. That is what we rest everything on. He is coming again. And Paul says, you know this. You know this is coming. You know what time it is. Now we want to let that knowledge have effect in our lives today. We want to let that truth bear out its fruit in us. We want to let the future hope shape our present lives. Do you ever have something in your life that you know something to be true, but you can't quite will yourself to change in accordance with it, to change your habits or your behaviors? So I know for a fact that I need to drop my cholesterol. I need to shed a few pounds. I need to go to the gym a little bit more often. The longevity and quality of my life for me to be able to see my kids grow up and my grandkids depends on me taking care of my body today, here and now. I know this. Do I let it affect my behavior each and every day? Sometimes. I'm working on it. All of us, I think, have these areas of our lives where we know the truth and we see the patterns and habits of our lives that are not quite lining up with that truth. The goal here, the call, is to let the advent of Christ, his future coming, shape us now in our ethics, in our behavior, in our relationships, to wake up out of our spiritual slumber, to be alert and watchful and ready for his coming. Now, before we look at what it means to wake up, I want to look at what it means for us to be asleep. What does it mean for us to be spiritually asleep? That we receive this call to wake up because in some ways we are in this spiritual slumber. Many of us may be asleep at the wheel of our souls, where we are just coasting along in our Christian life. Day by day, largely living our lives in a way that ignores God and the things of God and the call of God on our lives. We live our lives in a way that looks like the world, that looks just like our unbelieving neighbors and coworkers. We let ourselves go along with the agendas and the values of this world, swept along by the current of what is around us. We let ourselves be led by the desires and passions of our flesh, making justifications for them even when we know that these are not the will of God for us. Maybe you are saying, like many others, I know that I've got to deal with my pornography usage, but I'll get to it at some point. Maybe you're saying, I know I need to forgive this person and not let unforgiveness drive this wedge of bitterness in my soul. And I'll get there eventually. I know I need to deal with my screen addiction, how it's forming my mind and my heart in negative ways. Just someday I'll get to it. I know I want to give more time to studying Scripture and to prayer and to incorporating these disciplines I know are good for my soul. Someday. And sometimes we tend to think of all these habits and activities and practices and behaviors as just neutral things. Things that God doesn't really care about one way or the other. But it's just how we live our lives. But brothers and sisters, let me tell us that God cares about the things that form you. God cares deeply about the things, the habits and the practices, the behaviors that we are allowing to shape our souls, because he loves you, because he cares about your soul. He cares about the things that we do, our habits and practices and behaviors. And so when we come to frame all of our lives in the light of the truth that Jesus is coming again, that he has called us to his own life, to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light. When we frame our lives as the spiritual battles that they are, and when our hope is focused on the fact that Jesus is coming again, that is knowing what time it is. That is knowing the reality of our situation, knowing that there is limited time for us left on earth, so let's get to it. Are you taking a spiritual nap? It's time to wake up, the Lord says. It's time to wake up from our slumber. So if you are one who has been sitting on something, that the Lord has been nudging you, saying, you need to deal with this area. You need to cast off this sinful habit. You need to reconcile with this relationship. You need to add on this spiritual discipline. If you've been hearing that nudge from the Lord and kind of pushing it off for a long time, hear the Lord's word. It's time. If you've been waiting for a sign for the Lord, let this be it. It's time to wake up from our sleep morally, spiritually, relationally, in our habits, in our daily practices, our values, our speech, our media consumption, and what we let form us. We don't want to waste the time that is given to us. Because we know the time, that our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, and our future hope that Jesus is coming again to make all things new. At some point, that will no longer be a future far-off hope, but it will be here and now. And for the strength to do this, to wake up, we look to what Jesus accomplished in his first coming. His first coming, that he gave us the grace to resist sin, to renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. His death and resurrection has won our freedom. And when we are asleep at the wheel of our souls, we are just allowing ourselves to submit again to a yoke of slavery. Know what time it is that the Lord is coming again. Will he find you ready? To do this, we're told to cast off the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light, like changing clothes. The Bible uses this metaphor of clothes in many different ways, in many different times. Like, when I wake up in the morning and I shower and I put clothes on, I'm intending these clothes to be part of me wherever I go that whole day. Wherever I go, they go. Whatever I do, they do. I'm in them. And they are part of me. In the same way, we're told, cast off the works of darkness that we've been clothed with. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these works of darkness that we're told to cast off, these are all the things that you and I don't want the light to shine on. All those things that we know the Lord does not desire for us, that He commands against. Sexual immorality of all kinds, drunkenness, relational brokenness, jealousy, envy, pride, sloth, greed, gluttony, hatred, adultery. Some of these things are so obvious that there's shame associated with them, and so we avoid them out of fear, or when we've given into them, we want to keep them in the dark. We want to keep them hidden from everyone else, and even trying to hide them from God. Others of these works of darkness are more subtle, and we just sleepwalk our way into them, not knowing how much they are forming our souls. And the key here is for us to hold up our lives, our habits, our thoughts, our speech, our practices, hold these up to the light of God's holiness, for the deeds of darkness to be exposed and shown for what they are. The Lord says it's time to take these things off, to be rid of them, to cast them far away from you, to let the Lord Jesus, who cast out the fiercest of demons, cast these things far from you, to not cling to them any longer, but to put on the armor of light, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are in Him, that we bring Him with us wherever we go. He's part of us, and we are part of Him. When it talks about the armor of light, armor is protective, protecting us against the deeds of darkness. When you have armor on, you are prepared for battle. Can you imagine a soldier going with the whole army preparing for war and he forgot his armor at home? Maybe he didn't know what time it was. He didn't know that it was time for the battle. When you have armor on, you know what time it is. You know you're going into danger and to war. We're told to put on, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14. To put on His life, the new life that He offers us. It's very specific about saying the Lord Jesus Christ. We're putting on His lordship, carrying it with us wherever we go. That Jesus would be the Lord and Master of all that you are, all that you do, all that you say and think, and the way that you approach life. That Jesus is Lord of it all. One arena that Paul wants to make extra sure we are mindful of this in is in our relationships. As he opens our passage and follows up this call, he's talking about our relationships and our obligation to love one another. To let that be the only debt that we carry. To love each other and to fulfill the law. Because we know what time it is. Because the night is far gone and the dawn is at hand. Love one another. Don't waste time on squabbles and grudges. Or letting unforgiveness drive a wedge in that breaks apart relationships. Love one another because Jesus is coming back. In all these things, to cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light, put on the Lord Jesus, love one another. This is the future hope of Jesus coming again that is shaping this call in the present, shaping our present reality and living. And so for us, to change our wills, to change our habits, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit who is transforming us, we have to know what time it is. We have to know that Jesus is coming back. and let this be the force that shapes us to cooperate with the Spirit. So Advent is a season for us to remember and to know what time it is. If you are asleep at the wheel of your soul, it's time to wake up. It's time to shake off the dreariness of sin and darkness and to walk in the light of His love. And we who are believers in Christ, we know that we are saved by grace through faith. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation or deserve it. So we are not talking about our being saved. We are not talking about changing our behavior in order that God would love us, in order that God would save us. We change our behavior because God loves us, because He has saved us. The Word is talking to us about walking in the salvation that we have received, to living it out with fear and trembling. So, brothers and sisters, in the light of the grace we have received from our Lord Jesus Christ in His first coming and our belief in Him, let our eyes be opened to understand the stakes of life, the cosmic and spiritual realities that we are engaged with day by day, and to know that the time is now to wake up and prepare for our Lord, to prepare our hearts for Him, to prepare our lives for Him, to prepare our world for His coming. So let us, each one of us, wake up from our slumber to shake off the spiritual lethargy and prepare for the battle that we are in. Let us take up our watch and be ready for Christ whenever He comes, because He is our great hope that we hang everything upon. And He is our great reward that makes all of this so worth it. So with holy longing, and with eager expectation and hope, let us make ourselves ready for our Lord. Now, will you join with me in prayer as I pray our opening collect for the day again, which draws from this passage. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when He shall come again in His glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through Him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.